This morning's scripture is from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May the Lord our God add his blessing to his word.
Well, it's wave over wave, sea over bow. I'm as happy a man as the sea will allow. There's no other life for a sailor like me than to sail the salt sea, boys, to sail the sea. There's no other life but to sail the salt sea. So I want to talk to you sailors today. And actually, Robert Viney was with us first service, and he's actually sailed around the world. It's great to have coffee with him sometime, and you can hear about that. It's wonderful stories all over the world. I know nothing about sailing. That's a great big sea song. That's about it. But that song is about a gentleman who knows what God has created him to do. He's been created to sail. It's wave over wave, sea over bow. And he's happy to do that. You know, there's another verse in the song that refers to the fact that he's away so much that actually the village raises his family. And he is so thankful for where he comes from, Twilligate Isle. Because there's no other life but to sail the salt sea. So I mentioned before in previous weeks, I am not going to be preaching every week for forever. This is the last one for a little bit. But I have mentioned that the Gospel of Mark could very easily be called the Gospel of Peter, because it's Peter who is telling the story to Mark, and Mark is carefully and meticulously writing down this information. It's the story of Peter and what Peter saw, what Peter experienced, as he could look at Jesus and say, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." And so what do we know about Peter? Well, Peter's a sailor. He's a fisherman. And for Peter's life, it's wave over wave and sea over bow. And he's happy to do that. He loves doing that. He'll spend all night doing that, not catching anything, and still go back and do it again. But there's something really, really special about this particular experience that Peter has as he travels with the others, with Jesus. And they go across the Sea of Galilee. And what I want for us to see today is that God is at work in the very circumstances of your life. God is at work in your life using your everyday circumstances. He is working in those circumstances. So I know you're not sailors, but you all have things that you love to do. And we are butchers and bakers and candlestick makers. Right? And I really want us to see today that God is at work in the circumstances of your life. Well, for Peter, James, and John and the others, they've been with Jesus, and Jesus has spent a full day of teaching. Remember, this is the way they describe Jesus. He teaches not like the others do. He teaches as one who has authority. And just the way Jesus teaches, it just naturally brings people around him. And so Jesus has had a full day of teaching. It is now evening. And apart from Pastor Bob, who likes to burn the midnight oil, most of us, I think it's safe to say that we experience a shutting down around between 9 and 10 o'clock, right? And I don't know about you, but maybe I'm just describing how old I actually am. But don't ask me to go out and do anything if it's 9 o'clock at night, because I'm just not going to be a very good participant. I can fall asleep on the kitchen floor, under the counter, very easily, and I have actually done that by times. So Jesus has had a full day of teaching. It is now evening, and Jesus is tired. Jesus needs to have a rest. But before they do that, Jesus says, well, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Not a big lake. Not a big sea, but they are going to be traveling to the other side. And because of Jesus' charisma and his personality, the spirit that is filling him to overflowing, he just naturally is drawing people around him. He's teaching in a way that they've never heard the kingdom of God before, and it's just so many good things are happening around Jesus that we actually read that there are a number of boats. There's a flotilla that just follow him, right? And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You want to get away and you just want to be by yourself, but people just won't let you be by yourself. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you're like, oh my goodness, no, I don't like being alone. Well, that's good for you. Some of us, a lot of us, we actually like to have times where we're alone. And Jesus is just not getting this, right? And so there's this flotilla of boats that have come. They're following Jesus. They want to be with him, right? Good things happen when you are with Jesus. So they know and they've seen and experienced and heard what is happening on this shore. Well, if Jesus is going over to that shore, I wonder what good and wonderful and incredible things are going to happen over on that side. Well, we're going to go and we're going to find out. And so here they are, and they're traveling over to the other side of the water. Everyday circumstances. Peter has done this. He does this all the time. He follows the fish. And if the fish are over there, that's where he's going to go. I wonder if they would have all followed Jesus if they knew what was about to happen. Because the truth is, I'll speak for myself, but I love following Jesus when I know exactly what is going to happen. You know, and all those good things that are going to happen on the other shore, hey, I like that stuff, right? I remember being in a group of pastors and praying together, and one of the pastors kind of probably said a little bit of what was on his mind, and he said, Lord, you know, pastoring would be a wonderful thing if I didn't have to deal with people. I'm sure in your professions and vocations that you would never say something like that. We want to follow Jesus when we can see where he is going. Are you in that flotilla? It's okay. It's okay. It's wonderful to be with Jesus and following him where he goes. But really what we're talking about is everyday stuff. You see, Jesus goes to the back of the boat and he falls asleep. The writer is very careful to tell us that he's in the stern of the boat. The stern of the boat is the back of the boat, right? And well, there's a number of things you do in the stern of the boat. Well, apparently you sleep on the cushion in the stern of the boat. But you also command and control the boat from the stern. And if it has a rudder or a wheel, those are all controlled from the stern. But that doesn't seem to be what Jesus is doing. Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. And while he is sleeping, a fierce storm arises. Well, the writer uses a number of very interesting words to describe this. We get the word agenato or egnao that refers to, and it came to pass. And in many, many instances in the Bible, more than we could possibly really take time to count right now, they refer to God's action in the world. And so this is God that is doing this. He brings about this storm. So we have a number of words that describe this storm. One is megale or mega. So this is a mega storm, to use an English word to transliterate a little bit here. We're not talking about a little shower and a little bit of wind. This is a huge storm. The word is actually used to describe hurricane force winds. That's a pretty big storm. There's another word here used to talk about the waves, and the word is kumata. Kumata is used in referring to pregnancy. And so you think about this. This is a wave that is pregnant, right? And we'll often use as a term, we'll say, well, that's a pregnant phrase, right? And if there's much more than just the word and there's much more description to be had, well, that's what this word is referring to. These are big waves. This is a mega storm that has come upon them. And it seems to have come out of nowhere. And according to the dialogue and the individuals in the boats, it is threatening to destroy them all. That's a storm. Let's spiritualize that for a moment. We have storms that come up in our lives. The truth is that God is at work in the circumstances of your life. Now, I don't want you to check out. I don't want you to think, oh, well, Pastor, I heard this like when I was 10 years old in Sunday school. Yeah. Storms come and Jesus, we just ask Jesus and he'll take the storm away. That isn't even close to what this narrative is about. You will miss exactly what God is doing if you think that God is here to take away the storms from your life. That's not what God is going to do. Your life is the boat. And the everyday circumstances of life come, and they're many and varied, and some of them come without us realizing. If we could see ahead, we probably would try to avoid it at all costs. But the truth is that God is at work in those circumstances.
They are divinely appointed moments where God works in our everyday circumstances to reveal who He is, who we are, and who we need. Right? Jesus says in John 16:33, He says, in this life, I will take away all those storms, so don't worry. No, He doesn't say that. He says, in this life, you will have trouble. Right? The epistle of James says, consider it all joy when storms come into your life. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what he's referring to. When you have adversity and trials of all shapes and sizes that come into your life, consider it pure joy that God is at work in your life. You see, God works in our everyday circumstances to reveal who He is, who we are, and who we need. It's moments like these where God does His best work in our lives. When He brings us to these moments in life, it's then that we realize that we need Him. Because He is our rescuer. What God brings you to, He will bring you through. Let me say that again. Those everyday circumstances of life, those storms that come out of nowhere, those mega pregnant storms, they seem to have much, much more under the surface than we could ever imagine. Yeah, those things. What God brings you to, He will bring you through. Now, a couple of things that are important to note here. It's Jesus who leads them into the storm. Don't miss that. Jesus leads them into the storm. Don't think for a moment that Jesus was caught off guard and He was like, oh no, how did this happen? This is not good. Be still, quiet. There, fellas, I took care of it. No! There's a special purpose. There's a plan, because God works in everyday circumstances. It's Jesus who leads them into the storm. God knows what He is doing. What He brings you to, He will see you through. Here's when it hit me. Why is the writer so particular about where Jesus is in the boat? Right? It could have just said, He's in the boat and He was asleep. It's not a big boat. Right? We're not talking Norwegian cruise lines, right? There's no swimming pools and tennis courts on the fifth deck, so to speak. He's in the stern, and He's asleep. This is when it hit me. Sometimes Jesus has to be stern with me. Why do I say that? To be stern means to put extreme pressure on someone or something. A stern warning, a stern rebuke, a stern hand. But also especially in regards to authority and discipline. So not only was Jesus in the stern of the boat, He was actually teaching them a life lesson. He's being stern with them. Do you think He could have stayed up long enough to settle this before it even happened? Well, of course He could have. He's God. But He doesn't. I'm thankful that there are times in my life when God is stern with me? Hebrews says, if you're being disciplined, if you're experiencing a stern lesson, be thankful in that, because God disciplines the ones He loves. And so this everyday circumstance of a storm coming out of nowhere, a major storm, with Jesus asleep at the stern, is for their benefit. It might seem like He is asleep, or that He doesn't care that they are about to perish. And it might seem that Jesus is asleep in our lives at times. You know, the disciples, they come to Jesus and they're panicked, because after they've tried everything that they know what to do, they've raised the sail and lowered the sail, and they've trimmed the whatevers, and they've done all the things that they need to do, and they're still not getting out of this thing, and they're going to perish. And so they go to Jesus and they're like, hey, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. Well, the book of Psalms is full, chapter and verse. The writer of the Psalms many times does this. God, don't you care? They're getting ahead and I'm falling behind. God, this isn't fair. That happened and I'm being punished. And the disciples come. Jesus, don't you care? Oh, bless their hearts. They totally miss it. You know, it might seem like He's asleep, and we pray and we don't get an answer to prayer. And it might seem that He doesn't care. It might be a situation that seems life or death to us, that we might lose everything or reach our breaking point. The disciples, perplexed, anxious, filled with doubt and fear, run to the back of the boat. Jesus is in the stern and He is sleeping. You see, what Jesus is trying to teach them is not to look at all that other stuff, but to keep their eyes on Him. You see, regardless of their circumstances, to be with Jesus, they are in the safest place they could possibly be. So do you want to get through the circumstance you are in? You need to get close to Jesus. Because what He takes you to, He will see you through. Jesus has brought them here to grow their trust and their faith in Him. Where you are, regardless of your circumstances, being close to Jesus is the safest place you could possibly be. Because what Jesus brings you to, He will see you through. And now notice in the story what Jesus does. He gets up, He's awake, He looks around, He says, quiet. Be still. I wonder if there's a double meaning there. I wonder if He's saying that to the disciples and to the storm. But He says it to the storm. interesting, being a maritime boy and love going to the beach, you know, the best time to go to the beach is after a hurricane has... So a hurricane will come through the jet stream and will zip past the Maritimes. Sometimes we'll touch it a little bit, but most often it's way out in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, the benefit of that is surfing, wakeboarding, and swimming, because you get these monster waves that come into the shore. And they will be like that for days, because it takes a long time for the ocean to calm down. You know, when a lake is under the onslaught of wind and waves, it takes it quite a long time to calm down. We read in the story, and the writer tells us that actually everything immediately stops. So it's not that it calms down. It's not that the disciples have some fun in the sun and the surf for a few days with their surfboards because of the ramifications of this storm. No, it immediately turns into glass, right? And it's just dead calm. It's spooky calm. They look at each other, and like, is God in our boat? Yeah. God's in your boat too. And what he brings you to, he will see you through. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to be stern with us sometimes. And you use circumstances in our lives. You use them to stretch us and grow us, to help us to trust you more, that we might put our faith fully in you, might look to you. Father, we thank you for those experiences. Father, we know that if we saw them ahead, how we would probably try to avoid them. Thank you, Lord, for going through those with us. Thank you for this story of Jesus. Lord, help us to understand today that regardless of what's going on around us or in our lives, being close to Jesus is the safest place we could possibly be. We won't be afraid. Whom shall we fear? No one. For you are with us. Father, thank you for being in our boat. Thank you, Lord, for what you take us to. You will see us through. Amen.